Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into a topic that I know a lot of you have been asking about, and that's the link between sleep and autism. You sent in some really fascinating research from inclusiveteach.com, which, as you know, is a fantastic resource for both parents and educators.
Right.
And we're going to try to unpack that together today. So if you're ready to gain some practical insights and strategies to help autistic children who might be struggling with sleep, then stick with us, because we are going to dive right in.
I think it's interesting you bring this up, because sleep issues are incredibly prevalent in the autistic community.
Really?
Like a significant 80% of autistic individuals experience some form of sleep disorder.
Wow, 80%. That's a really big number.
Yeah.
It really kind of brings home how important this is.
Exactly. And it's not just
cost.com.
It's also the quantity of sleep, but it's also the quality of sleep. When we're talking about sleep disorders, we're talking about everything from difficulty falling asleep, also known as insomnia, to disruptions in REM sleep, which is that deep sleep stage where dreaming happens.
Right. So it's not just about getting enough hours. It's about getting the right kind of sleep and the kind that allows the brain and the body to fully rest and recharge.
Absolutely.
And I can imagine that's crucial for everyone.
Yeah.
But particularly for children on the autism spectrum.
Absolutely. And the impact of poor sleep is really far reaching. It affects learning, behavior, and overall well-being.
Yeah.
It's almost like trying to focus in a noisy room.
Yeah.
Your brain just can't function at its best. Yeah. And specifically for autistic children, lack of sleep can actually worsen their sensory sensitivities.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you're already sensitive to sensory input, being sleep deprived would likely make those sensitivities even more intense. It's almost like a vicious cycle, isn't it?
Precisely.
Poor sleep worsens the sensory issues, which in turn makes it harder to sleep.
Mm-hmm. So let's try to understand, what's behind these sleep challenges? Why is it that so many autistic children struggle with sleep?
Well, one of the key factors, as you mentioned, is sensory sensitivities. It's a hallmark of autism, and it plays a major role in sleep difficulties.
Okay, so help me understand this a little bit better. We often hear about the sensory bucket when talking about autism. Can you explain how that relates to sleep?
Sure. So imagine a bucket that represents a child's capacity to process sensory information. Throughout the day, this bucket fills up with sights, sounds, smells, textures, everything they experience. Now, for autistic children, their sensory processing can be different. And their bucket might fill up more quickly, or they might have difficulty filtering out certain types of sensory input. So by the time bedtime rolls around, their bucket is overflowing, making it extremely difficult to relax and to fall asleep.
Well,
that's a really helpful analogy. It makes me think about how carefully we need to consider the sleep environment for autistic children. If their sensory systems are already overloaded, a bedroom is too bright, too noisy, or too cluttered, could be a recipe for sleep disaster.
You're absolutely right. And in addition to sensory sensitivities, there are other factors that can contribute to sleep problems in autistic children. Anxiety, for example, is very common, as are certain medical conditions and even some medications. It's often a complex interplay of factors, which is why it's so important to take a holistic approach to addressing sleep issues.
Okay, so now that we've kind of laid the groundwork and understand why sleep is so challenging for many autistic children, let's move on to what I think everyone really wants to know. What can we actually do about it? Where do we even begin?
Well, the good news is that there are many parent-tested strategies that have proven effective in helping autistic children sleep better. And one of the most important things is to create a sense of predictability and calm, especially around bedtime.
So routines are key.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be a rigid minute-by-minute schedule, but having a consistent sequence of events leading up to bedtime can be incredibly helpful. It signals to the child's brain and body that it's time to wind down and prepare for sleep.
And what about visual cues? I've heard those can be helpful for autistic children too.
Absolutely. Visual cues can make a big difference. Something as simple as closing the curtains or dimming the lights can signal that bedtime is approaching. You can also use visual timers or create a visual schedule with pictures that show each step of the bedtime routine. This helps the child know what to expect, and it reduces anxiety.
Okay, so we've got routines and visual cues. What about specific activities that can help children calm down before bed?
There are lots of great options. The key is to find what works best for the individual child. Some children respond well to deep pressure activities, like a warm bath or a massage. Others find calming music or nature sounds to be soothing. And of course, reading stories or quietly singing lullabies can be very effective.
We've also heard from parents that weighted blankets can be helpful for some children.
Yes, weighted blankets can provide a sense of security and comfort, much like a hug. The gentle pressure can help calm the nervous system and promote relaxation.
It sounds like engaging the senses in a calming way is really important. It's not just about creating a quiet environment. It's about creating a sensory experience that helps the child wind down.
Exactly. And speaking of sensory experiences, let's talk about the sleep environment itself. This is often overlooked, but it can play a huge role in sleep quality.
Okay. I'm all ears. I'm always trying to optimize my own sleep environment, so I'm curious to hear what's recommended for autistic children.
Well, the ideal sleep environment for anyone, but especially for autistic children, is cool, dark, and quiet.
So basically a sensory deprivation chamber. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I get it. Minimize distractions and create a calm, soothing space.
Exactly. You can use blackout curtains to block out light, a white noise machine or a fan to mask distracting sounds.
Yeah.
Make sure the room is a comfortable temperature.
Good. What about night lights? Are those okay?
Night lights can be helpful for some children who are afraid of the dark, but it's important to choose one that emits a dim, red-hued light, as this is less disruptive to sleep than bright blue-toned light.
Okay, good tip. And what about co-sleeping? I know that's a topic that comes up a lot with parents of young children.
Co-sleeping is a complex issue, and there's no right or wrong answer. It really depends on the individual family's circumstances and preferences.
Right, and it's something that might evolve over time as the child grows and their needs change.
Precisely. The key is to carefully consider the impact on everyone's sleep and to make sure it's not hindering anyone's ability to get the rest they need.
So it's about finding that balance
between
providing comfort and support
while
also promoting healthy sleep habits for everyone involved.
Exactly. Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about something that can be particularly challenging. An autistic child falling asleep in class.
This is something that I know a lot of teachers and parents struggle with.
It's important to approach this with understanding and empathy. When a child falls asleep in class, it's often a sign that something deeper is going on.
So rather than seeing it as laziness or defiance, we need to recognize that there might be underlying factors contributing to this behavior. What are some of the things that teachers and parents should consider when a child is consistently falling asleep in class?
Well, first, it's essential to rule out any medical conditions that might be affecting the child's sleep. Once that's been addressed, it's helpful to think about the possible reasons behind the sleepiness.
So what are some of those possible reasons?
Well, it could be something as simple as not getting enough sleep at home.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also be related to sensory overload in the classroom. If the child is bombarded with sights, sounds, and other sensory input all day long, it can be exhausting and lead to sleepiness.
That makes sense. And I imagine that masking could play a role here too, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Masking is the term used to describe the way autistic people often try to hide or suppress their autistic traits in order to fit in with social expectations. It can be incredibly tiring and draining, and it can definitely contribute to sleepiness.
I hadn't thought about that before, but it makes a lot of sense. So what can teachers do to support autistic students who might be struggling with sleepiness in class? It must be so difficult to try to learn when you're constantly fighting off exhaustion.
It is. And that's why creating a supportive and understanding classroom environment is crucial. Teachers can start by creating a calm and predictable environment. This might involve minimizing distractions, using visual supports, and offering choices whenever possible.
So things like dimming the lights, using noise-canceling headphones, and providing a quiet corner where the child can take a break if needed.
Exactly. It's all about reducing sensory overload and creating a space where the child can feel safe and comfortable.
And what about movement breaks? I imagine those would be helpful too.
Absolutely. Incorporating movement breaks throughout the day can help combat fatigue and improve focus.
Right, because sitting still for long periods could be especially challenging for some autistic children. So giving them opportunities to move around and get their energy out can help them stay more alert and engaged.
Precisely. And remember, it's essential to communicate with parents and work together to create a consistent plan that supports the child both at home and at school.
Yeah, it really does take a village, doesn't it? It all starts with understanding the complex interplay between sleep and autism. This has been a fascinating deep dive so far, and I'm already feeling more equipped to support the autistic children in my life. But we've still got more ground to cover. So let's move on to part two. of this deep dive, where we'll explore even more strategies and insights.
You know, it's amazing how foundational good sleep is for a child's development. When we think about supporting autistic children, we often jump to things like dystocia rigidus or social skills, but sleep is just as crucial.
You're so right. It's like the bedrock upon which everything else is built. Without good sleep, it's harder to learn, regulate emotions, even just function in the world.
Exactly. And that's why we need to be proactive about addressing sleep issues. We've talked about routine, a calming bedtime routine, and the ideal sleep environment. But what happens when sleep problems persist, even with these strategies in place?
Yeah, that's when we need to kind of put on our detective hats, right? Yeah. We need to figure out what's at the root of those sleep challenges. It can't be a one-size-fits-all approach.
Precisely. And this is where a collaborative approach is essential. Parents, teachers, and healthcare professionals all need to work together, sharing their observations, insights, and strategies. It's like assembling a puzzle.
So for instance, if a child is waking up consistently in the middle of the night, we need to look for clues. Are they having nightmares? Do they need to use the bathroom? Are they feeling anxious?
Exactly. Or if they're having trouble falling asleep, it could be sensory sensitivities, a racing mind, or even an underlying medical condition that needs to be addressed.
Well, that makes me wonder, are there any specific medical conditions that are commonly associated with sleep difficulties in autistic children?
There are a few conditions that we often see alongside sleep issues, for example, gastrointestinal problems are quite common in autistic children, and these can definitely disrupt sleep. Seizures, too, can occur during sleep and lead to nighttime awakenings. And of course, anxiety and mood disorders can also significantly impact sleep patterns.
So it sounds like it's really important to work with a healthcare professional to rule out any medical factors that might be contributing to the sleep problems.
Absolutely. And once any underlying medical conditions have been addressed, we can start to explore other potential causes and develop a targeted intervention plan.
So sometimes this might involve working with a sleep specialist?
Right. Yes, in some cases, a referral to a sleep specialist
might
be recommended. They can conduct a thorough assessment, perhaps even a sleep study, if necessary, to identify any specific sleep disorders that might be present. They can then recommend tailored interventions.
That might include therapies like cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, or perhaps even medication to regulate sleep cycles.
Exactly. And the good news is that there are many effective treatments available for sleep disorders. So there's no need for families to suffer in silence.
That's reassuring to hear. It's so important for families to know that they're not alone in this and there's help available. Now, while we're focused
not on my challenges,
and is it possible that some sleep-related behaviors we might observe in autistic children aren't necessarily problematic?
That's a great point. You're right. Not all unusual sleep behaviors are cause for concern. For example, some autistic children might engage in repetitive behaviors before bed, like rocking or lining up toys.
That's interesting. I can see how those behaviors, while perhaps unusual to an outside observer, might actually be serving a purpose for the child.
Exactly. For some children, these behaviors are actually self-soothing mechanisms that help them relax and transition to sleep.
So it's important to differentiate between behaviors that are truly disruptive to sleep and those that are simply part of the child's. The unique way of winding down, it's about understanding the individual child rather than trying to force them into a mold.
Precisely. And this speaks to a larger point about recognizing the strengths and resilience of autistic children. These kids often face unique challenges, but they also possess incredible strengths and abilities.
I love that perspective. It's so easy to get caught up in the challenges, but it's important to remember that autistic children are capable of amazing things.
Absolutely. And when we focus on their strengths and provide the right support, they can truly thrive.
Speaking of support, you mentioned earlier the importance of respecting boundaries. Especially as autistic children get older. I remember the inclusiveteach.com article you shared mentioned this in the context of co-sleeping. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, of course. While co-sleeping can be a comforting solution when children are very young, it's important to think about the long-term implications.
So as children grow and develop, it's important to help them develop a sense of independence.
Yeah.
And that includes having their own space to sleep.
Exactly. And for some autistic children who might already have difficulties with social boundaries and personal space, establishing clear boundaries around sleep can be especially beneficial.
It's about finding that balance between providing comfort and support while also encouraging independence. and healthy sleep habits.
Precisely. And speaking of healthy sleep habits, let's delve into a topic that often puzzles parents and educators, the connection between sleep and behavior in autistic children.
This is something I'm really keen to understand better. We know that a sleep deprivation can impact anyone's behavior, but it seems like the effects can be even more pronounced in autistic children.
You're absolutely right. Sleep deprivation can be like, whoo, adding fuel to the fire when an autistic child is already struggling with sensory sensitivities, emotional regulation, and communication. Lack of sleep can make those challenges even more difficult to manage.
So it's almost like they're operating with a shorter fuse. When they're sleep deprived, they're more easily overwhelmed, frustrated, and prone to outbursts.
Precisely. And it's important to remember that these behaviors aren't intentional. It's not that the child is trying to be difficult. It's that their brain and body simply aren't getting the rest they need to function at their best.
That's such an important point. We need to approach these behaviors with empathy and understanding, recognizing that they're often a symptom of sleep deprivation rather than a deliberate act of defiance.
Exactly. And this is where a collaborative approach is so important. Parents and teachers need to communicate openly with each other, sharing observations and working together to create a supportive environment that helps the child regulate their emotions and behaviors.
What are some specific things that parents and teachers can do to create that supportive environment?
Yeah, there are many strategies that can be helpful. Providing sensory breaks, incorporating movement into the day, using visual supports to aid communication, offering a quiet space for the child to decompress when they're feeling overwhelmed. These are all things that can make a big difference.
It's about being detectives, looking for clues, and making adjustments to create a more predictable and supportive environment.
Exactly. And sometimes it might be helpful to seek professional help from a therapist or behavioral specialist who can provide additional guidance and support.
Now, as we're talking about all these strategies and interventions, I think it's important to acknowledge that achieving perfect sleep might not always be a realistic goal for every autistic child. How can we help parents and educators set realistic expectations when it comes to sleep?
That's a really important point. While many autistic children can achieve consistent love parity, restful sleep with the right supports, some may continue to experience sleep challenges throughout their lives.
So it's not always about fixing the problem. It's about learning to manage it.
Yeah.
And finding ways to support the child's well-being.
Exactly. And that might involve adjusting our expectations, focusing on progress rather than perfection, and celebrating small victories along the way.
That's a great reminder. It's about shifting our mindset from one of frustration to one of acceptance and support. Now, I know there's a ton of information out there about sleep, and it can be overwhelming to navigate. Do you have any go-to resources or tips for parents and educators who are looking for more guidance on supporting sleep in autistic children?
There are some fantastic resources available. One of my top recommendations is the book, The Autism Spectrum Disorder Sleep Handbook by Linnell Schneeberg. It's a comprehensive guide covering everything from understanding sleep disorders to implementing practical strategies. Another great resource is the Autism Speaks website. They have a wealth of information on sleep, including articles, tips, and even a sleep toolkit for families.
Those are great resources. And of course, consulting with a healthcare professional, like a pediatrician or sleep specialist. It's always a good idea.
Absolutely. They can provide personalized guidance and support. And don't forget about the power of community. Connecting with other parents and educators who are going through similar challenges and can be incredibly helpful.
There's something so powerful about knowing that you're not alone in this.
Yeah.
Sharing experiences.
Yeah.
And strategies with others who understand can be incredibly validating and empowering.
Exactly. And remember, even small changes can make a big difference. Yeah. Don't be afraid to experiment with different strategies, celebrate progress, and most importantly, be patient with yourself and your child.
Yeah, it's a journey, not a race. And every step in the right direction is a victory worth celebrating. This has been such an insightful exploration of the complex world of sleep and autism. I'm already feeling more knowledgeable and empowered to support the children in my life. But before we wrap up, I'd love to hear your final thoughts on this topic. What's the key message you want our listeners to take away from today's conversation?
If there's one thing I want our listener to remember, it's this. Sleep challenges are incredibly common in autistic children, but there are practical strategies and a wealth of support available to help. We can make a difference.
I love that. It's a message of hope and empowerment. Huh. It's about understanding the challenges, embracing the supports,
mm-hmm.
and working together to create a positive environment where these kids can thrive.
Yeah, it really is. Sometimes just knowing that other people are out there facing similar challenges can make all the difference, you know, as we're talking about creating a supportive environment. I'm curious to hear more about specific strategies for making the sleep environment itself more sleep friendly. We touched on this a little bit earlier,
yeah,
but I think it's worth diving a bit deeper.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one area that often gets overlooked is the power of sensory input. We know that autistic children can be either hypersensitive or hyposensitive
mm-hmm.
to certain sensory stimuli, and this can play a big role in their sleep.
That makes sense. So for example, a child who's hyposensitive to noise might benefit from a white noise machine or a fan to help block out distracting sounds and create a more calming atmosphere.
Exactly. And on the flip side, for a child who's hyposensitive to touch, a weighted blanket or even something called a body sock might be helpful. They can provide that extra bit of sensory input that can help them feel more grounded and secure.
That's fascinating. It's like you're giving their sensory system the input it needs to regulate itself and feel more comfortable. What about visual supports? I know those can be really helpful for autistic children in many areas of life. Do they play a role in sleep as well?
They absolutely do. Visual supports can be incredibly powerful tools for helping autistic children understand routines and expectations. And sleep is no exception. Things like visual schedules, social stories, or even just simple pictures can help them understand the bedtime routine, anticipate what's coming next, and reduce anxiety.
Can you give me an example of how that might look
mm-hmm.
in practice? Certainly. Let's say you have a visual schedule for the bedtime routine. It might show pictures of each step, taking a bath, putting on pajamas, brushing teeth, reading a book, and finally getting into bed. This helps the child see the sequence of events and know what to expect.
That's a great example. It makes the routine so clear and predictable.
Yeah.
And you mentioned social stories. How would those work in the context of sleep?
A social story about sleep might explain why sleep is important, what happens when we sleep, and what to do if the child wakes up in the middle of the night. It can help them understand the concept of sleep and reduce any fears or anxieties they might have.
It's all about making the information accessible. Understandable for them.
Exactly. And these visual supports can be tailored to meet the individual child's needs and preferences.
Okay, so we've talked about sensory strategies and visual supports. Now, I want to ask about something that I know a lot of parents are curious about. Melatonin. What can you tell us about this sleep aid and its use in autistic children?
Melatonin is a naturally occurring hormone that helps regulate our sleep-wake cycles. And while it's not a cure-all, it can be a helpful tool for some autistic children who are struggling with sleep.
It's important to note that melatonin should always be used under the guidance of a healthcare professional, right?
Absolutely. They can help determine the appropriate dosage and monitor for any potential side effects.
And I imagine it's important to use melatonin in conjunction with other sleep hygiene strategies. It's not a magic bullet, is it?
You're right. It's not a quick fix. It's most effective
when
it's part of a comprehensive approach that includes things like establishing a consistent bedtime routine and creating a relaxing sleep environment.
So it's about addressing sleep from all angles, not just relying on a single solution.
Precisely. And speaking of sleep challenges, let's shift gears a bit and talk about something that I know can be incredibly frustrating for both children and parents, nighttime awakenings. What advice do you have for parents who are dealing with this issue?
Nighttime awakenings are so common, and they can really take a toll on everyone's sleep. I imagine the first step is trying to understand why the child is waking up.
That's exactly right. Are they having nightmares? Are they thirsty or hungry? Are they feeling anxious or overwhelmed? Once you have a better understanding of the cause, you can start to develop strategies to address it.
So for instance, if nightmares are a frequent occurrence, you might try incorporating a calming activity into the bedtime routine, like reading a relaxing story or using a dream catcher.
Exactly. Or if the child seems to be waking up hungry or thirsty, offering a small snack or a drink before bed might help.
It's like being a detective, isn't it? You have to gather clues and try to piece together the puzzle of what's causing the nighttime awakenings.
That's a great way to put it. And sometimes, despite our best efforts, the nighttime awakenings persist in those cases. It might be helpful to consult with a sleep specialist or a therapist who can offer additional guidance and support.
Now, I want to shift gears slightly and talk about something that's often overlooked, but incredibly important. the impact of sleep deprivation on the parents and caregivers themselves. We've talked about the importance of self-care, but what are some specific strategies that parents can use to cope with the challenges of sleep deprivation?
That's such an important topic. When you're chronically sleep deprived, it affects every aspect of your life, your mood, your energy levels, your ability to think clearly. It's crucial to prioritize your own sleep as much as possible.
That's easier said than done.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a child who's struggling with sleep. But I imagine even small changes can make a difference.
Absolutely. Things like taking naps when you can, asking for help from friends or family, and establishing a relaxing bedtime routine for yourself, these can all help.
Yeah, it's about recognizing
that
you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to take care of yourself in order to effectively care for others.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of simply acknowledging how you're feeling and giving yourself permission to struggle. It's okay to not be okay all the time.
It's about being kind to yourself and recognizing that you're doing the best you can in a challenging situation.
Right. And remember, there's no shame in seeking support, whether it's from a therapist, a support group, or simply a trusted friend or family member. Reaching out for help can make a world of difference.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, and I think we've given our listeners a really comprehensive overview of the complex world of sleep and autism.
As we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one key message you want our listener to take away?
If there's one thing I want to emphasize, it's this. When it comes to sleep and autism, there's no one-size-fits-all solution. Every child is different. And what works for one might not work for another.
That's so important. Remember, it's about being flexible, patient, and willing to experiment until you find what works best for your child and your family.
Exactly. And remember, you're not alone in this journey. There are countless resources, support groups, and professionals who can offer guidance and support along the way.
Absolutely. Don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. We've reached the end. After our deep dive into the world of sleep in autism, we've explored the challenges, uncovered the science, and shared practical strategies to help you create a more sleep-friendly environment for the autistic child in your life. We encourage you to continue learning, seeking support, and celebrating every victory along the way. We're here to support you every step of the way.